Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Phil Japixi. Hey, Phil.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Last time you were here, we were down in Tech Ed.
We were.
Now we're in the cozy confines of the Channel 9 studio.
Yeah, this is a really nice studio. It's the first time I've been in your actual studio. I've seen your portable studio, but this is
the
nice.
Mobile one.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Phil is an MVP and the principal architect at Internology.
That's correct.
And a speaker at the VS Live conference, which is here on the Redmond campus this week.
Yep.
And that's awesome for me because I get to have a bunch of the speakers and my friends on the show.
Right.
So that's great. So today we're going to talk about specifically UI and WPF and natural user interface, fluid layout, a bunch of technical terms for it. But basically, it's things that you can do in your WPF apps to make them more user-friendly and to look better.
Absolutely. And to be clear, you could do this in Windows 8 as well.
Right.
Right. I'm just going to be showing it in WPF.
Okay.
And
we're not going to do a deep code dive. We'll have links to resources where people can learn about these things. But we decided that rather than show a bunch of code, we'd show the things you could do once you figure out how to do them.
Right.
And then, of course, you will have pointers where people can go learn how.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And you know, what I want to do is I want to show that, hey, you know what? You don't have to just do forms over data.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can do some really amazing things with WPF, with .NET, with the Connect, which we're going to show off as well.
Cool.
And it's all right there at your fingertips.
Excellent. All right.
So, ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right. So, let's start with just a very simple fluid layout example. And this is not an abnormal form, unfortunately. You can tell that it's WPF because it has a white background. It was WinForms would have a gray background.
Battleship white.
Battleship white. And I'm going to click this button here. It's small. It doesn't matter what it says. It says A to B, and it's going to move something from the left list box to the right list box. And you see that it just appeared.
Wow.
The
yeah.
problem with this is if I am not technical, I click this button, I'm looking around the form, I don't know if it did anything.
Right.
This is the double submit, triple submit problem that people have on e-commerce sites, right? There's no tactile feedback that anything actually happened. So what we want to do is using a combination.
But there's a spinning globe, right?
There's
a spinning disk to tell you that nothing
disc,
happened.
Yes. Right, that's true.
Doesn't get any more tactile than that.
Well, yeah, but that's not always seen either. One of the things that we, oh, and another thing too, is let's say, oh, can I drag this? Well, there's no response that I can actually drag, right? So let's enable what we like to call a fluid layout. And this uses a combination of animations, easings, and behaviors, right? And we'll get links up where you can learn more about it, and maybe you'll have me back on the show and we'll do a code dive, right, to get into it. And now that I have this animation, I'm gonna change the duration. Let's add a little lift and a little shadow. And now when I go from A to B, you actually see the thing move across the screen.
Yes, you do.
I can change the panel, and it's going to change what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And again, from an application standpoint, this is demoware, right? There's nothing exciting about this.
Right.
Except for the fact that now when I drag, I can actually
see what's happening.
But I don't give quite enough feedback, I think. So let's do this. Let's have it fade out when it can't drop. We'll have a red X and we'll have a red fill. And then also let's enable the container drop to give feedback that it's okay to let the mouse go now. So now when I take this guy and I drag it over, you see that it's red. It's faded out a little bit. It's got a big X in the middle. And if I let go, it's just going to go back to where it came from.
Okay.
You also see when I drag this out that anything where I can drop it has turned green.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little bit of feedback there. Now when I'm over it, it turns much darker green saying, hey, not only am I a target, I'm available for drop.
Okay.
And then when I drop, it animates in, it reorders, does a little sort. If we do a sort, well, it's already sorted, but it will change it around. And again, this is for Grandma Japixi. She's sitting down at the computer and is trying to do something and pushes a button, and I don't know how many times I've gotten a support call. I click the button, nothing happened.
Right.
Are you sure nothing happened? Right? And so let's give some feedback. And it's also pleasure. Excuse me. It's also better for example, error messages. Right?
Right.
When we have an error on the form, excuse me, we tend to big and red, make sure they can see it. Well, when we pop in all this red all of a sudden, we're kind of slapping our users in the face saying, hey, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
it's much better to ease in the right. red, maybe not make it so bright, but ease it in, even if it's only a quarter of a second or a half second. And that's really saying, yeah, we know you're an idiot, but we're going to help you, right? It's a little more gentle.
But you could also, and we also tend to say what's wrong after the fact. So, you know, maybe this, if you think about this form where you're assigning things to people, whether it's caseload or projects, and each item that you're dragging over has a particular amount of time that it will require. Right. And everybody has a particular amount of things they can put on their plate. You drag over, and as you drag onto each person you want to give it to, maybe it shows up red if that would overload them, or yellow if that would put them up against the edge, or green if for that particular item that they could handle it. That way you don't drag something over to somebody and then be told no. The validation then kicks in and says, no, the person you tried to assign this work item to doesn't have time to do it, so you can't do it. Would have been nice to have known that beforehand. Right.
Because then you might have to remember who you just dragged over, undrag them.
Right.
Right. And the same goes.
Right. Here, when I click on an item and start dragging it, maybe at that point in time, the people I'm dragging it to would light up in various colors. So then I know not to drag something to somebody who couldn't take advantage of
right.
it. Right.
And we're just using a storyboard in XAML to animate the color change, mm-hmm. you know, yep. to show what's available to be landed on.
Right.
So that's kind of the basics,
okay.
right, of why we like this concept.
So one question before we move on, yeah. is this type of stuff better done in Blend than in Visual Studio?
So that's funny. It's going to depend on who you ask. I like doing it in Blend.
Uh-huh.
Some of the hardcore devs won't open Blend, but Blend makes this very easy. So okay. I would do this in Blend, and then because it all ties in so neatly with right. Visual Studio, you have it right there. Right. I really like Blend, especially for Windows 8 as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and just making a storyboard, it's a couple clicks of a mouse.
Right, because I think traditionally when you would ask, you know, when should I use Blend versus XAML, because you can create new projects from scratch in Blend.
Correct.
But why would I do that? I'm using Visual Studio. But the things that I thought Blend was particularly good at were these things like animations and transitions and storyboards, which, yes, if you're in Visual Studio, you can write the XAML to do them. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I always thought that Blend made it easier to do that.
It does. It makes it much okay. easier and faster. And I like making it to happy hour, so I'd rather use Blend so I can get out of
okay.
work on time.
There you go.
So,
cool.
All right. So you said, okay, that's kind of a silly example, and you're right, it is. But let's look at something a little more probably used to what people are seeing, you know, mm-hmm. around election time.
Yep.
So I am the host. I want to talk about this particular state. I can put any data in here that I want. If I'm done talking about that state, I can make it go away.
Okay.
Let's say Texas went to, and we have Obama and Romney up there. I'm not trying to relive any of the election stuff, so please don't flame
us.
I'm
just going
that.
To drag this one direction
or
the other.
I'm just going to drag it one direction or the other.
Just for illustration
randomly,
purposes.
And you see right. that it sorts by electoral count.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so not by state size, but source by electoral count, and then assigns it to be red. So we can drag over here, and again, it'll sort. We bring California over here. I know that California is just...
Well, now we are literally rewriting history.
Yes, I am rewriting history. And we say, you know what, we don't really know.
Okay.
You know, we thought it was going to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is just an example of using yep. easings and animations to make it more natural.
Yeah.
You know, pop it out, let's talk about it. We could drill down deeper. Again, this is just a prototype app that our guys wrote
right.
Just to see if they could do it.
Is this particularly difficult XAML to write or particularly difficult to do in Blend?
It is not particularly difficult. The most difficult time you're probably going to have is finding the shapes,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless you want to write them all by hand.
Okay.
You know, which you can. I mean, there's certainly programs out there that will take an image and turn it into vector. Excuse me.
Yep.
But you need to get the shapes from somewhere.
Right.
Right.
You
so
probably
what,
find a third-party library that
sells. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there's,
states,
you know, I mean, even, you know, iStock Photo has got some good images that
right.
if you want to, you know, trim out
but
the
actual animations, the easing, the blending, is that difficult to do? Is it difficult to learn?
Not at all.
Okay.
And it's, with Blend, it's mm-hmm. even easier, right? To get it to work exactly the way you want,
okay.
that's where the art comes in.
Sure.
Right? But just from animation, I wrote a book on... Windows 8.1 mm-hmm. with C Sharp and XAML.
Yep.
And I did a bunch of animations, and they look terrible because I'm an architect and not a designer, right? But very easy in Blend. Say, add animation, start here, I want to end here. Okay. You create the storyboard in Blend, and it just does it for you.
All right, and so that was kind of my next question. Does this work just as well with Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8.1 WinRT as it does with WPF?
I don't know about Windows Phone.
Yeah, I wonder. Probably differently.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd need as much.
Right.
Because with the phone, I don't know if you guys can see my hand, but you're typically one thumb working it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got a big screen, imagine, you know, a large kiosk in front of a store.
Right.
Right, where somebody wants to see what the shoes, there's a whole rack of shoes pictured, and they touch one of the pairs of shoes, and it comes forward, and they get a close-up, and then they can rotate it and turn it without having to go in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So I think it's better for the Windows 8, the desktop mode, the Windows 8 Metro. Sorry, don't say Metro anymore. The modern applications in Windows 8 or Windows 7.
Okay, cool.
So. All right, and then to see a real app, this is actually an app that we have installed. And I can pick one of the different Mars rovers, and it will play a video. We don't have all the videos because NASA owns them, but we have some of them here. But you see the easing right there, so it's
so
very
gentle. So this is a WPF app.
This is a WPF app.
Sweet.
Running on a kiosk
mm-hmm.
in, I believe, in it's not the Smithsonian, but it's one of the museums.
Okay.
So let's select this one for the mission, and now it's going to tell us what we need to do. So the first thing I have to do is pick a payload. And you see how everything is nice and gentle, easing in and out. Now, this video, NASA wouldn't let us put in the sample, which is fine. And this app is actually downloadable off of the Internology website, so they can download the app itself.
Oh, cool.
And play with it. And I've never been able to beat the game.
There's a game?
Yeah, it's a game. So you actually have to design the mission.
Yeah.
And then the mission will play, and based on what equipment you picked, it'll tell you whether you succeeded or not.
Ah, and the mission is to get to...
The mission is just like any NASA Mars rover mission. You need to get there. You need to collect samples. You need to send the samples back. You don't have to get back. You just have to drive around and collect things. So once you have it all...
Let me get this straight. I play this game, and I win, and my reward is that I'm stranded on Mars?
Yes, pretty much.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you see here, we're given a lot of feedback of what you're trying to do. Even the help, so well thought out. Nice little easing animation to say, mm-hmm. hey, look, you just push this button. We're going to move that out, and then we're going to suck it back in. And so I'm going to go over here. You see the drop zone is highlighted.
Yep.
And I let go. It animated down here the changes. So I can't go over budget. I can't make it too heavy, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So now I'm done. Now I pick my rocket. And a little video about the different rockets, and then I can pick one. And I can actually not pick any more, right? So we give that visual feedback that you were talking about with the overload employee.
Yep.
And I'm not going to do them all. This game takes a while, but let's go where we have some different options. So here we use color to say, all right, purple goes on purple.
Mm-hmm.
Now for... the microprocessor, I have two different options. One's more expensive. I can pick either one, but I have to have a main bus.
Right.
Right? And then you can continue on. We're not going to play the whole game. People don't want to see me lose because I always lose this one. But again, the whole idea here
is... Well, the benefit is you don't get stranded on Mars.
Yes, I never took off, so I don't get stranded. But again, think of a small child, you know... I should say young child, going up mm-hmm. to a kiosk and going, oh, cool, I can build my own mission.
Right.
And if they push a button and things just disappear from one place and appear in another place, they're going to get a little frustrated.
Right.
And walk away. Right. Same with the not so young children who might not be as comfortable with computers, and meaning like my dad, my mom.
Yeah.
Grandma Jipixi.
Somebody who's, working in a shipping department, who's trying to put together a payload, somebody who's assigning resources or doing something like scheduling talks at a conference, right? All kinds of opportunities where you really are just kind of moving things around instead of heads down data entry.
Right.
That's awesome.
So let's move off of the what I like what I like to call the fluid layout and look a little bit at the graphics rendering capabilities of WPF. I know for years I never took advantage of this. I built a lot of line of business apps, and they're very nice apps, but I didn't really think of the graphics capabilities. Yeah. So let's look at this 3D viewer that we have, and let's pull up. Well, you know, I do a lot of work in the medical field. I'm a retired firefighter paramedic, so I care about these things. And using my fingers, and you can see the touch being responded, I can zoom in, I can zoom out. We also bought this, or I'm sorry, built this little control where we can control the screen manually, and you can see that I'm not very good at controlling it. But let's say I'm a physician, I'm looking at this x-ray, I now have my surface stylus, and I want to make a mark right here, and I'm going to say, you know what, this is a possible tumor site. Right? So I can add an attachment, I can change what type of annotation it is, we'll just keep it simple. I close that. We now rotate around, we're looking at some other things, and we go, you know, what did I say? Well, let's go back to the annotation I just made. It's going to, and again, it doesn't just pop into a different position. Yep. It animates as if you're turning the bone around to look at it from a different side.
Cool.
Everybody likes helicopters, especially cool military helicopters, right? So let's say that I'm a mechanic, and I'm working for the military, and I'm doing an assessment of this helicopter, and I notice that the door needs to be replaced, the door handle, so I can annotate it as I walk around.
Okay.
And then I can, as I walk around, I spin this, and then all the annotations are saved. It goes off to PM or repairs with all annotations there. You can export the annotations. Again, this is just some sample code that we built to see if we could do it.
Okay.
But this is all WPF.
So how would you, if you're going to do something like this, how would you get to the point where you had the 3D graphic that can rotate around?
More often than not.
That, you don't do that in XAML.
No, we...
Presumably.
For this one, depending on the level of performance that we need. So XAML will actually support that. But then you get some performance issues. So we're actually writing DirectX code.
Okay, got it.
Right, so, and it varies by performance. It's a little more complicated to write the DirectX code because you're going to intercept the way that WPF wants to render itself.
Right.
But it's not super complicated.
Okay.
And we can get some links on how that works as well.
Right.
Okay. So,
cool.
So that's some of the 3D stuff. And again, what I'm trying to show here is that, you know, this isn't just WinForms where all you're going to be doing is forms over data.
Right. Like
there's a lot more applications you can do for WPF. Very powerful for forms over data, right?
Yep.
Ton of business systems written in it. So the other thing that I want to talk about is the ability to use the Kinect in places where you can't always use your hands.
Right.
Right. So think of an operating room. I'm a surgeon. I am operating. I'm elbows deep in a patient, and I want to open a chart.
Right.
I can't just pick up the paper. Now I got to scrub back in.
Right.
Right. So what if we had a Kinect, and I'm going to stand up here, try and get untangled from the... And we've got the avatar turned on here, so let's make sure the Kinect sees me. There I am. It doesn't see me all that well. I'm actually not nearly that flexible. but through voice or gesture, we can actually pull things up. So I go over to here. Why is it not picking up? Let's go this way because I'm too close. All right, so here's the x-rays. Right, so I can just by gesture, and I'm just holding up my hands, simple as if I was playing a game with the Kinect, but I can also talk to it. Tor, 5. Tor, 9. So Tor is for touchless operating room.
Ah, okay.
Right, so you got to have some sort of keyword,
right?
If you want the Xbox to play music, Xbox music, right, or something like that. So Tor, back. Tor. Back. Right, now let's pull up charts. Tor, charts. So now I have the patient's chart. I want to go back and look at something. Maybe I'm in there, I've opened up the patient, and I find something that I didn't expect. Is this in the chart anywhere? So let's pull up one of the charts. It's not going to like me.
Are you too close or too far?
I'm too close.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's do it this way. All right. So now I have the chart. One thing that we added is front to back capabilities. I think I get my hand in just the right spot. And now, just by moving my arm forward and backwards, I can zoom in, I can zoom out.
Nice.
Up and down pans. Well, let me zoom in, and then I can pan up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this all without touching the computer. So you don't have to scrub in. You don't have to worry about purifying a bunch of documents and things like that. You can just have a computer. Computer has to be sterile, obviously. But the computer can actually be wrapped in plastic.
I want the cooking apps I use to do this. Because, you know, I call up recipes on the Surface. And I'm not necessarily elbow deep in a, you know, human. But I've just touched raw chicken, or I've got, you know, some kind of rub all over my hands, and I'm not going to go touch my Surface with, you know, my greasy, dirty hands. So I'd love the similar thing to be able to tell the cooking app to scroll up, scroll down, zoom in, or, you know, what's the next step.
That is an absolute awesome use for this, right? And the Kinect is so cheap, and the Kinect 2 is just coming out.
Right.
Right? That's over-the-counter software.
Yeah.
It really is. So one of the things that we do in our healthcare applications is we want to monitor patient energy. So Kinect is great. It's infrared. It's got a camera. It's got the whole nine yards. So, and again, we're in kind of a tight spot right here. But you can see in purple a box. And if I go outside of the box, you see my arm is turning black. It's no longer measuring the energy.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've contained the energy within a specific box.
I think it's cool that it's showing the Channel 9 guys behind you.
Oh, it is.
It is. That's awesome.
Now we can actually, you know, have that background fade out and things like that, but we'll leave the Channel 9 guys in because that's awesome. But let's say you have a patient and you want to make sure that you only care about what's going on in the bed, right? If family comes in and they're making a bunch of motion, you don't want to have a false alarm that's saying the patient is having a seizure mom or dad have come in to visit their child in the hospital.
Right.
So we've actually contained where we're measuring in this box. Again, if I leave the box, you see that it stops measuring. And then down below here on the screen is just how much energy is being spent. If I say very still, it's about as low as I can go without stopping breathing, and I kind of like breathing, so I'm going to continue to breathe. So you say, Phil, why does this matter? Why would I care about this? Well, let's look at a patient app. Where we've got something in, say, a nursing home. And I'm also going to start up the Nurses Station app, where I have something in the Nurses Station. And let's make a new one. And this is room A101.
Mm-hmm.
So I go next, and I care about sustained motion, seizures, and rapid motion. So I'm just checking which ones I care about. I then hit next. I can adjust the angle, and that's going to be good enough for what we're trying to show today. And here I am measuring the patient. Now, if you look on the left, the nurse's station, you see the video, and everything's in green. On the right, in the inset, this is the patient, what is on the patient monitor in the room. So as I start moving, and I know people are going to giggle because they see me raising my arms and flapping them like a flappy bird. But you see the motion energy change. And if I can get it to sustain long enough, and typically I have to kind of move forward and back, this is all adjustable, we will have that green light turn to red. And when it turns to red, and I hope it does it soon because people are going to just be giggling to no end to see
we
me
need
do
to,
this.
To see you actually doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. Thanks, Robert. So do a little Macarena here. And I've got sustained energy, and it's not turning red on me, so this is me failing the demo because
pretty
I'm
soon
not...
Pretty soon it's going to flatline. Will it
yeah, I know.
Then?
All right, well, let's say we stop moving. And we're not checking for stillness. So there's okay. a demo fail. I was messing with the settings today to try and get it to work differently. And I messed it up. That's why I'm an architect and not a developer anymore.
I don't know.
Because my guys will yell at me.
I think it's a pretty cool demo and it worked. It shows that you're monitoring. That's awesome.
Yep. There's more. So let's say that this turned red. Mm-hmm. We're going to all use our imagination. And the nurse sees a whole bunch of different rooms. Can see the video going on, live video. Can also then pull up the room. Shows the live video. Can initiate a chat with the room. Because there's a microphone on the Kinect.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So you need to have speakers in there. Can go back here. If I had actually succeeded in making it turn red, then the nurse, this part, you can't see me pointing, this part here would have turned red as well.
Okay.
And when they click in here, there's a button to replay. So the moment that it turned red,
mm-hmm.
plus a little bit of moment before that, it will replay the video so the nurse can look and see what happened. Oh, they're just turning in their sleep.
Right.
Oh, they fell out of bed.
Right.
Right, and they can get right in there. And those are just, just some things that we can do with the Kinect. It's different than, hey, let's play a game.
So I assume this type of stuff could make its way to baby monitors as well as all kinds of other applications.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times when my kids are older now, they're 13, 11, and 8, but when we had the baby monitors, especially with the first child,
mm-hmm.
anytime there was a noise, my wife
right.
was pew, running off,
yep.
right? See what's going on.
Yep.
And just to be able to say, hey.
And by the second, or by the second, you kind of calm down. And,
yeah, and the third one, it's like, oh, whatever.
Care, right?
Yeah.
Can't be bothered.
But you can set it to, are they not moving?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So think about SIDS
yep.
implications, right? You get that early notice that this baby hasn't moved. And it's especially with the Kinect 2, very fine point of touch.
Right.
So you can make sure they're still breathing, things like that. All kinds of applications.
Very cool.
So.
Sweet. So that's some amazing demos. And that's all done with WPF. There's
all
some DirectX
WPF.
in there. The first stuff was animations and easing. The second stuff was had some DirectX for the 3D rotation. And then this was all done with the Kinect, but it's all available. It's all very doable.
It's all over the counter stuff.
Yep. This is magic in the sense that really good developers developed this stuff.
Right.
But not magic in the sense that it's all publicly available stuff. Anybody could do this once they learn how.
Yeah. And my real point for showing this off, not just, I mean, yes, it's nice to be able to show some of the amazing stuff that Aeronology is working mm-hmm. on, but really to have people think that I don't have to be writing the same old application
yeah.
that I've been writing for years. Right. Shop room floor, right? If I'm a mechanic and I'm working on this shop, do I want to go to a computer, type in a part number, and then find it on the shelf? Or do I want to hold up my phone, take a picture of the part, have it do a photo recognition in the back end,
right.
and then put that into the work order for me automatically, and then have somebody bring the part to the floor?
Right, exactly. All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope that gave you some good ideas. We'll have a bunch of pointers to how you can learn how to do this stuff, and maybe we'll have you back to actually show us.
That'd be awesome.
In the future, that'd be cool.
Be more than happy to come back.
All right. See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.